Radio Prague News. The government's assumption that a VAT hike would help fill state coffers and reduce the gap in public finances has proved wrong, according to the Daily Lidové Noviny. Senator Vladimír Dreimel has left the Social Democratic Party, accusing it of widespread corruption. And a group of 34 Japanese children affected by radiation from the 2011 Fukushima disaster have arrived in the Czech Republic for therapy. The government's assumption that a VAT hike would help fill state coffers and reduce the gap in public finances has proved wrong, Lidové Noviny writes in its Thursday edition. According to statistics, VAT revenue in the first 7 months of this year has been the same or even lower than in the same period last year. The paper says the finance ministry has refused to comment and statistics offer a simple explanation. Czechs are spending less. Although the prices of goods and services went up by 3.5% as of January, people paid 2.1% less for consumer goods and services. As of January 1, 2012, the Czech Republic increased the lower VAT rate from 10 to 14%. Senator Vladimír Dreimel has left the ranks of the Social Democratic Party in view of joining the Party of Citizens' Rights, set up by the former Social Democrat Prime Minister Miloš Zeman. Announcing the news at a press briefing in Prague on Thursday, the senator subjected his former party to scathing criticism, saying it was rife with corruption, particularly at the regional level. Dreimel is the second senator to swap the Social Democratic Party in favour of Miloš Zeman's Party of Citizens' Rights. Senator Irina Riplova made the same move last week. A group of 34 Japanese children affected by radiation from the 2011 Fukushima disaster have arrived in the Czech Republic for therapy. They're to be treated in the Olivovna Children's Hospital located in the town of Říčany, southeast of Prague. During their time at the facility, the patients are expected to undergo not only treatment, but also a variety of well-being programs such as swimming and horse riding. The board of the Czech Central Bank has decided to leave interest rates unchanged, the bank's spokesman Marek Petrus told the CTK news agency after a board meeting on Thursday. The key interest rate thus remains at an all-time low of 0.5%. It was cut from 0.7 to 0.5 in June of this year, and analysts predict it will stay on hold for the rest of the year at least. According to an amendment to the law valid as of August 1st, all pre-baked products to be finished at the place of distribution must be labelled accordingly at the given sales outlet. These products allegedly go stale sooner and contain more additives. Although Czech salespeople have started adhering to the practice, inspectors point out that the new regulation concerns not just bread and baguettes, but also a broad range of pastry products such as donuts and cakes that supermarkets import pre-baked. The AP news agency has given the Czech Olympic House in London top marks. In its guide to Olympic houses and pavilions, the Czech House in Islington received a gold medal for its London Booster sculpture by artist David Černý, the house's modern interior and rich cultural programme for visitors. The only thing that Associated Press found fault with was the high price of its most popular dish, goulash and dumplings. Finally, tennis. Czech Petra Kvitová took a beating at the hands of Russia's Maria Kirilenko, losing 7-6, 6-3 in an Olympic women's tennis singles quarterfinals match on Thursday. The game has dashed Kvitová's hopes of winning a medal at the London Olympics. And finally, a look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be sweltering hot with day temperatures hitting the 30s. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Thomas McEncrow, and in today's programme, the Czech embassy stays in Syria and will provide consular services for the US as violence in the country continues to escalate, and Dominic Yoon reports on the rising phenomenon of electronic cigarettes. In today's panorama, Jan Richter talks to the founder of the British NGO Equality, Alan Amstead, about why the Czech school system is so unfair to Roma children. And as usual, we will end the show with Pavla Harakova's Czech lesson. So keep listening. The Czech Republic will provide consular services for the US in Syria, the Foreign Ministry confirmed on Wednesday, after Poland, which had taken on that function until now, withdrew its diplomats. As the conflict between pro-government forces and anti-Assad rebels escalates, the Czechs are among the few who have retained their mission in Damascus. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Italy, Sweden, France and Finland are just a few on the ever-growing list of countries that have closed their embassies in Syria in light of the 17-month-old armed conflict. The U.S. withdrew its diplomats in February, and until now its consular activities were handled by Poland. Now, following a request by the U.S., such matters will be handled by the Czechs. Deputy Foreign Minister Vladimir Galushka said the U.S. issued a request last Friday and officially contacted the host country, Syria, this week.
I think we can safely assume that the U.S. trusts us in these matters. And of course, there is also the factor that we are one of the few EU countries who still have a mission operating in Damascus. For those reasons, I think their choice was not only political, but also practical.
Czech officials are understandably monitoring the security situation, changing hour by hour. If anything, it appears to be growing only more volatile. At least 70 people, it was reported by the BBC on Thursday, had been killed by government forces in recent house-to-house sweeps in Damascus. Many of the people reportedly summarily executed, shot in the head or face. Aleppo, one of the most important cities in the country, described as crucial in the continuing conflict, has also seen fierce fighting between the pro-regime army and rebel forces, with innocents being caught in between. I spoke to Assem Atassi, a Homs native and a member of the Free Syria Initiative in Prague, who confirmed contacts with some friends and family members at home or in neighboring Jordan where they had taken refuge. Mr. Atassi described the situation in Aleppo, including its importance in the fight against Bashar Assad's regime.
In Aleppo, let's say the Free Syrian Army has the advantage now because I think the regime army was somehow surprised by this attack. So till now, I think they have the advantage, even they have less people. But the Syrian regime and the Syrian army don't want to lose the people of Aleppo because it's known that Aleppo was one of the latest cities that came to the revolution or, let's say, participated in the revolution. So they are trying not to do what they already did in Homs or in another cities, that they, in fact, make the people enemies. So they are trying not to make these massacres as they did in the other cities.
The BBC reported how difficult it is, for example, to get food in Aleppo, that one bakery had opened after many days. I imagine also that other supplies will be scarce. What is the humanitarian situation?
In fact, the humanitarian situation in Aleppo is as bad as in other cities, like it is in Homs, that is in Damascus, or sorry, countryside of Damascus, in Deir ez-Zor and in Daraa. In fact, it's all people, places that are surrounded by the army, and the army, the regime army, is preventing any humanitarian aid to be delivered to these people.
Assad himself has called the coming days key in the conflict. Do you think that that is indeed the case? And what are the chances of the government forces being defeated so that, say, there can be a new future for Syria?
It's really hard to say that, okay, now that we are, like say, that the Free Syrian army has the biggest advantage and that they are defeating the regime army. It's really hard to say something like that. We still know that the Syrian regime has still the chemical weapon, that they have a lot of things that maybe they can maybe use. So we are really afraid that they will use these chemical weapons or other, let's say, non-usual weapons that can make big massacres, but that can, from the point of view of the Syrian regime, they can see it as the last way how to defeat the Free Syrian army.
That was Assem Atassi from the Free Syria Initiative discussing the situation in Syria with Jan Wellinger. And in other news, it's cigarettes. Across the Czech Republic, electronic cigarettes, or e-cigarettes, have become something of a phenomenon in the last year or so. Stores are opening up on the streets of the country's towns and cities, selling these nicotine replacement devices. The rise of the e-cigarette in the Czech Republic mirrors its growing popularity for smokers, seeking to kick the habit across much of the world. But questions persist. Are they safe? And do they work? The Czech government is currently debating new regulations to ban them from places where smoking is already prohibited. Dr. Eva Kralíková runs the Prague-based Czech Centre for Tobacco Addiction. Her organisation has just undertaken a study which found that more than one-third of Czech smokers have tried e-cigarettes. Dominic Yoon asked her for a medical perspective.
It was never proven safety or even efficacy as smoking cessation aid. But on the other side, we have to point out that they do not produce any smoke. Nothing is burning there. So definitely there are no thousands of chemicals that are present in the tobacco smoke. So the risk is definitely incomparable with classic cigarettes. I wouldn't be so much afraid of them. And as a doctor, I cannot recommend them because I don't know the exact composition of them. But on the other side, it's almost zero risk.
Almost zero risk. So tell me a little bit more about the fact that the medical profession, as well as governments and so forth, have yet to officially certify electronic cigarettes in any way. It's something of a legal black hole at the moment, isn't it?
Concerning legal question, they are currently in Czech Republic among tobacco products. So, for example, you cannot sell them to minors, etc. On the other side, the nicotine-containing liquid is quite unclear how much nicotine does it contain and how much nicotine is absorbed during a puff. So several times we hear that someone was overdosed because it's more easy than from classic cigarettes.
So that's you believe that's the main danger, because obviously there haven't been any long studies of the long-term effects of inhaling what other chemicals are. You say glycerin, but what about the flavorings and so forth? Could there be some risks there?
There are no long-term studies. There is one analysis of Food and Drug Administration from US, which did find some traces of nitrosamines in one sample, and this is something almost like zero danger.
So tell me the statistics of the number of Czechs that are smoking and the number of Czechs that have tried these and the kind of impact that they could possibly have.
We have to point out that quit smoking is not easy. The tobacco dependence is drug dependence with very low success rate. We have in Czech Republic about 30% of smokers in the population over 15. And among this population of smokers, about 35% of them did try e-cigarette for two reasons. One is less dangerous smoking, which is definitely true. And second reason is stopping smoking and maybe also smoking in places where smoking is forbidden, or better to say, to get nicotine where smoking is forbidden. But as a doctor, I can just recommend nicotine replacement therapy, which is available, which is pure nicotine, available OTC, so without prescription in the pharmacy, in the form of patch, gum, chewing gum, or inhaler.
And final question, the government is apparently preparing some new way of regulating the industry. What might that change, if to your knowledge?
As far as I did hear, it should be banned to use e-cigarettes where smoking is forbidden, which doesn't make much sense for me, because according to my opinion, it is smoke that should not be present in any indoor environment. So much more important would be to ban smoking in restaurants and other public places or other indoor public places. To point out the danger of e-cigarettes seems crazy compared to the danger from classic cigarettes.
And that was Dr. Eva Kralikova speaking to Dominic Kuhn, who had the report. For any of you who have just tuned in, a reminder that you are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for this week's Panorama programme. A British study has shown that Romani children who are placed in Czech special schools have no problems following the mainstream curriculum when they attend regular schools in the UK. The research carried out by the UK-based NGO Equality is grist the mill of critics calling for the fundamental change of the unfair Czech schooling system. Jan Richter reports in this edition of Panorama.
The Czech Republic's notorious practice of placing disproportionately large numbers of Romani children in de facto segregated schools has been for years the target of criticism from international institutions and advocacy groups. But little has changed, bar the name of the schools, since 2007, when the European Court of Human Rights said that the Czech education system did not ensure equal access to education for all. Supporters of the status quo often argue that special elementary schools, renamed to practical, are best suited for children from a socially challenged background. But when these children leave the country and start attending mainstream schools in the United Kingdom, they do not face the obstacles presumed by Czech educators. That is one of the findings of a study put together by the British NGO Equality. I sat down with the NGO's founder and chief executive, Alan Anstead, who told me more.
We conducted research of Czech and Slovak pupils that were now studying at mainstream schools in the United Kingdom who had previously had come from the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And 85% of them had attended a special, or it was renamed practical school, or a de facto segregated school in the Czech Republic or Slovakia.
The NGO interviewed 61 Roma primary and secondary school students in the United Kingdom, along with parents and teachers who work with Roma students. The results of the research carried out last summer shows that placing Romani children in special schools in the Czech Republic is unsubstantiated.
The research found they were just below the average in score in maths, literacy, and in science subjects, the three main core subjects that are measured from 11 to 15-year-old. And that for many of them, perhaps recently arrived in the UK, not speaking English before they come here, is quite an achievement, mostly due to the extra effort that teachers in the UK have given them to make sure that they can join in the school, learn from the lessons, participate fully in the lessons. And that help has also been extended to parents, to talk to them about schooling, what's involved, what their roles are as parents, homework and other things. And that seems to work really well in a number of schools in the UK.
In the Czech Republic, pressure to place Romani children in special schools also ensues from teachers and school directors. They are often afraid that the parents of non-Romani children might take their children out of the school for fear that Romani pupils might slow the education in that particular class. Alan Anstead says that attitude is not at all common in the UK.
That view doesn't exist here. So most of the teachers, until recently, had never heard of Roma, would never have had Roma pupils in their classes. So they taught them and the same as any other recent migrant group that came to UK, which means they need a little bit more help with language, other skills as well, but to keep them in the mainstream class, to keep them with the other pupils, not to segregate them, not to think of them any differently than others, but catering for where they might have a specific need in a short-term basis. And that seems to have worked. So without having a baggage of ideas, or as I would think of it, as prejudice against a group, they've just treated them exactly the same as any other migrant group that's recently come here.
According to Equality, Roma people who leave the Czech Republic and Slovakia for the UK have established communities in the north of England, the Midlands, the south of England, and in north and east of London. That's where the research took place, and Alan Anstead says Eastern European Roma were naturally not the first migrants to send their children to local schools.
The schools vary. It depends on the area and the catchment area around the school and what the makeup is, the demographic makeup of the people there in terms of their nationalities. But yes, all of the schools had British as well as some other migrant groups there. Most of the Roma came to the cities in the UK. And the cities invariably in the UK are quite multicultural, people from all sorts of different nationalities there. So most of the schools they go to have a great range of different nationalities there. But that's something that the schools celebrate. And they have different days, some of them, where they'll celebrate a different culture, a different language, and let the pupils show the other pupils what it is that their makeup is about.
In this respect, the crucial difference between the UK and Eastern European countries is that while the Czech Republic and other post-communist nations are fairly homogeneous societies with small numbers of immigrants, the UK is truly a multicultural society.
The UK has had a very multicultural background since the 1950s, and so that's quite a long period of time for all these things, particularly in cities, for systems to work. And of course, Czech Republic and Slovakia, that has been a lesser period. But I'm quite optimistic that in the future things will change in Czech Republic and Slovakia, as there are more and more people who visit those two countries. I myself have lived in Slovakia for 3 years, and I've seen quite a change there. And so I'm quite optimistic that that's going to happen.
There are around 500,000 Roma living in the United Kingdom, according to an estimate from a previous study by the NGO Equality. It's not clear how many of them came from the Czech Republic, but they have been coming steadily since the 1990s. Non-segregated and prejudice-free education has been one of the major motivations, along with much better employment opportunities, says Equality's Alan Anstead.
There are more opportunities in the UK, they see. They see that there's opportunity to work. They also see it as a long-term opportunity for their children to escape from what they felt was an unfair school system, particularly in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, where the children went to segregated special school, whereas in the UK they would go to a mainstream school, would be studying exactly the same syllabus as every other pupil in that school. And that's one of the prime reasons they see as opportunity for the future.
In the Czech Republic, the estimated unemployment rate among the Romanies varies anywhere between 60 and 98%. They often live in segregated areas, like in the Šluknov region in northern Bohemia, in Most and another 300 sites across the country. Some 80,000 people live in these areas, where general unemployment rates are much higher than in the rest of the country. Alan Anstead describes how Czech Roma go about finding jobs once they arrive in England.
For many, they start off on temporary contracts or working as self-employed, and then from that move on to a job which is perhaps more fitting and suited to what they've done in the past. But most do work in one form or another. For those who have no possibility to work and are very close to poverty line, many sell The Big Issue, which is a magazine for those who are living in poverty, of which the vendors, the sellers of the magazine, take a percentage of the profits of what they sell. And that normally gives them a step up. From there, they often find a more stable employment.
One of the deepest-rooted anti-Romani prejudices harboured by the Czech society labels Roma people as abusers of the welfare system. But according to the experience of Equality's Alan Anstead, Czech Roma in the UK do not rely on the system in any greater extent than anyone else.
Most, when they come here, they're almost invisible to social services or any other service provider. They go where they have family or friends. They come here to work. And that's what they do. They send their children to school. They will go to the doctor when they need it, but only when they need it. And they will access the rights in due course when they're entitled to that, if they fall on hard times or if they're entitled to child benefit, for example, as anyone else in the UK is entitled to.
The situation of the Roma community in the Czech Republic has deteriorated dramatically over the last several years. The numbers of Roma people living in poverty is on the rise. It is ever more difficult to find employment, and the Czech education system has shown fierce resilience to change and become more accepting to pupils from different ethnic backgrounds. The European Roma Rights Centre, a Hungary-based advocacy group, is now in fact preparing a new lawsuit against the Czech Republic over segregation in schools, this time to be filed at Czech courts. But Alan Anstead says some progress has been achieved in these issues, albeit the Czech Republic seems to lag behind other countries, such as Slovakia.
I think if there's any difference, though, it's perhaps in the political systems. I don't think there's a great and strong will in the Czech political class at the moment to make that change. I think it's slightly different in Slovakia. I think there is that willingness to go ahead. Of course, it has to be, has to take time. It has to be done properly, and that does mean you can't just change it tomorrow and then vroom, we're off on a new course. But to move in a constant flow towards something which is much more mainstream, fairer, with equal opportunity for all, regardless of nationality and ethnicity, I think that's coming. I just think that in the Czech Republic, the political system is less willing than other countries to do that, but I think there is some willingness amongst teachers to move forward.
That was Alan Anstead from the British NGO Equality, talking to our reporter, Jan Richter. Now, since we are nearing the end of our show, it is time for another episode of ABC of Czech with Pavla Harakova.
Jedna, dvě, tři, čtyři, pět, Welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language program, explaining the details of the use of numbers in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Dita Asiedu,
and we'll be looking at a topic closely related to numbers, and that is money. In this first part, we'll focus on the coins. The Czech Republic's national currency is the crown,
koruna,
which has 100 helers,
100 haléřů.
The one crown coin,
koruna,
is made of galvanized steel, and the slang terms for it are
kačka
or
káble.
The two crown coin is made of the same material and has the same silvery look. It is known as
dvoukoruna.
The five crown piece,
pětikoruna,
is again made of steel and is slightly bigger. You can come across various names for it.
Pětikačka, pětikáble,
or
bůra.
The brownish 10-crown piece,
desetikoruna,
is made of steel covered with copper, and its slang names are
desetikačka
or
pětka,
meaning fiver. That's for historical reasons we explained earlier in this series. The golden and heavier 20-crown coin,
dvacetikoruna,
is made of steel covered with copper-nickel alloy. It is known as
dvacka
or, more archaic,
dvaciáš.
And it will buy you, for example, a loaf of bread. The biggest and fanciest Czech coin is the golden brown 50-crown piece,
50 koruna,
and you can get it for $2 in an exchange office. And that's all for today's lesson, but we'll be back next time with some more useful Czech phrases. Till then, bye-bye.
Naschledanou.
And that was Pavla Harakova with another of her popular Czech lessons, which I'm afraid means that we have come to the end of today's program. You will find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We will be happy to hear from you as always. This is Thomas McEncrow saying thanks for listening and goodbye.